love him this morning.
Amen.
When's the last time you told him? When's the last time you told him? I have, over the years, I've had numerous wives and their husbands sit in my office. What did I say? Oh. I've still got the same one, amen. Still married to my first wife. I've had numerous wives and their husbands. Y'all are wicked, man. I guess if you can't take it, you better not dish it out, huh? Part of the problem in the marriage is oftentimes the wives will say, "He never tells me he loves me." And the husband's excuse will be, "Well, I show you I love you." Yeah, but she still likes to hear it. And I think the Lord does too, amen? Not only does he show me he loves me every day, in some way he tells me he loves me every day, amen? Take your Bibles this morning, turn with me to James chapter number 4. That's in your New Testament, be right after the book of Hebrews. James chapter number 4. Probably going to read some scripture that's familiar to some of you and preach a message that won't be new to some of you. But it's something that we need to grasp, and we need to grasp every day. And that's just how precious life is. Just how precious life is. See, look, if you're there in James, say amen.
Amen.
James chapter 4 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. And therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Fathers, we come to you this morning. Lord, you know my heart. Lord, it's a little bit heavy for a friend. And Lord God, I pray that you'd help us this morning to say what we ought to say, and God, leave out what we ought not to say, and help us to be a help and an encouragement to these people. Lord, my greatest burden, my greatest prayer this morning, Father, is that not one would leave here without knowing you as their Savior. Lord, thank you for this day that you've given us to worship you and to praise you. And Lord God, just have your way in this service, and we'll thank you and we'll give you glory for all you do, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Look again at verse number 14. The Bible said, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away." Don't you pay close attention to verse 15. "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Last Sunday afternoon, a dear friend of mine, Brother Dale Nugent, he pastors the Calvary Heights Baptist Church in New York. They were having a dinner on the ground after church on Sunday afternoon. Brother Tim Kopacheski is his youth pastor, who is Brother Hal Roscoe. Many of y'all know him. That's his son-in-law. His granddaughter, the pastor's granddaughter, Julia Nugent, 16 years old, was standing there holding somebody's newborn baby and talking to her youth pastor. Brother Tim said that she was laughing and cutting up and oohing and cooing with the little baby. 1 second, he said, and all of a sudden a look of horror came on her face, and she clutched that baby to her chest as to protect it and fell over, graveyard dead. 16 years old. She had her whole life ahead of her. I'm sure she had plans. She was a good girl. She came to the big meeting, the youth meeting that I preach in New York every year. She was a saved young lady. She loved God. She was a godly young lady. She had everything out in front of her. I'm sure she dreamed about a wedding and dreamed about a husband and dreamed about children. But at 16, her life was cut short. Levi picked me up from the airport yesterday. As we started down Camp Creek Parkway, my phone rang, and it was Pastor Tom Benson, who I just preached for. Brother Tom took me to the airport at 6 o'clock Saturday morning. On his way back to the house, right on his way back home from the airport, he got a call from one of the members of the church who had been in the meeting that I just preached. They went into their son's bedroom yesterday morning, 21 years old, and he was dead. 21 years old, his life was gone. What I'm saying this morning is you have no idea what tomorrow holds. Brother William and I, he's one of my dearest friends, sat on the platform this morning. He said, now don't forget, I'll be gone the next 2 weeks. We're making plans. We're going on vacation. We're going to Alaska. And we make plans and we plan for the tomorrow and we plan for the future. But the truth to be known is we do not know what is going to happen tomorrow. I have this plan or I have that plan, and I'm not saying it's not okay to plan. You ought to plan. But what we ought to say, if it's God's will, we'll do this or that. In 1899, Charles H. Duell, he was the commissioner in the U.S. Office of Patents in 1899. Listen to what he said. Everything that can be invented has been invented. In 1899, the man who is in charge of the U.S. Patent Office said, everything that can be invented has been invented. Since then, the world has witnessed the advent of airplanes and automobiles, manned space travel, plastics, computers, cell phones, and literally millions of other devices. The problem was Mr. Duell just couldn't see the future. And neither can I, and neither can you. And neither can Jane Dixon and the psychic hotline. Amen. Amen. Neither can, if they're so psychic, why can't they see the trouble you're about to have and call you?
That's right.
Amen. If they could really foretell the future, why don't they ever tell you nothing bad?
Amen.
They know you won't call back and it's 75 cents a minute or whatever the case is. What I'm trying to say is nobody really knows the future. In 1988, I remember this. In 1988, there was a book distributed by nearly every pastor in America. Its title was 88 Reasons Christ Will Come in 1988. And pastors handed that thing out all over this country. They handed them out in the streets by the truckload. 88 Reasons Christ Will Come in 1988. The author of that book was Edgar Wisnant. He predicted the rapture would take place on September the 11th, 12th, or 13th of 1988. Many people believed the prediction. Trinity Broadcast Network even went so far as to change their regular schedule in broadcasting, selected videotapes telling non-believers what they should do if their loved ones suddenly disappeared. Over 3 million copies of that book were distributed. Millions believed it, yet it never came to pass. Well, we've got to understand that Mr. Wisnant could not see into the future. I could stand here and tell you the Lord's coming tomorrow, but I don't know that. Does that mean he's not? No, it doesn't. By no means. I could predict a date. We can get close, I believe. We're in that era right now. There is nothing hindering except maybe you trusting Christ as your Savior. There's nothing hindering the Lord from taking his church out of this world. Nothing. When that'll happen, I don't know. And the man that tells you when it is, he's a fool.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all remember just the last, within the last couple of years, the guy, I think he was out of Texas, Brother William, he put those billboards up all over America. He had the date that God was coming to take his church out of the world. People donated over $4 million to that man to put them signs up. You know what? Didn't happen. The Lord might have been going to come on that date, but changed it despite him. Amen? Amen. He might have said, well, I was coming that day, but since you acted a fool and advertised it, I'm going to wait a little bit. Amen? The truth is, we don't know what tomorrow holds. I have no idea. I'd like to spend the day with my wife tomorrow. We have a birthday party for my daughter this afternoon, and I'd like to enjoy the ham my wife's cooked and the apple turnovers that she's made and spend time with my children and my grandbaby. But the truth is, I don't know if we'll see the end of this service. I'd like to tell you, I'd like to promise you that I'm going to give an invitation in a minute. But I'm not even promised that. All I've got is right now. When they told me about that little girl who I'd met many times, she just fell over dead. They think she had an aneurysm. That 21-year-old boy that has sat and heard me preach, they don't even know what happened to him yet. He just died in his sleep. I was reminded of the preciousness of life. And I was reminded that every day is a gift from God. Amen. Every single day we live is a gift from God. Hey, whether you're saved or whether you lost, you ought to thank God that God gave you today, July the 14th, 2013. God gave you this day. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. But God has let you breathe again another day. Every time we suck in and blow out God's air and pollute this world with carbon monoxide, hey, we ought to thank God that he let us do it one more time. Amen. I got thrown off of a horse Tuesday before I left here on Wednesday, and I got a couple of ribs bruised up, but you know what? That horse could have stomped me in the head and killed me dead right there. God looked at me and said, poor idiot. And allowed that horse to jump over me. My wife said, I'm 48 years old. I need to start riding horses closer to my age. Amen. In truth, man does not know what the future holds. We have no idea. They predict stock markets. They predict mortgage rates. But they don't know. They can't even get the weather right. Are you listening? They can't even get the weather right. You know what it is? It's a prediction. It's not a promise. It's a prediction. It's not a promise. Let me say it again. It's a prediction. It's not a promise. Your trip to Alaska, I hope you go, the Lord willing. I hope you have a great time. The place is beautiful. I hope you get to see Brother Duffett in Anchorage. I don't know where you're going, but I hope you get to go. I hope you get to see a bear and a wolf, and hope you get to catch one of them salmon about that long. But I hope you go. But that's just a prediction that you're going. Those plane tickets that are reserved, that's a prediction. That hotel that's reserved, that's a prediction. Are you listening? It's not a promise. It's a prediction, not a promise. In the Lord's sample or model prayer, he taught them to pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. God, give us what we need to make it through this day. And if we live and we face tomorrow, we'll pray tomorrow, God, give us this day what we need for this day. And if we live the next day, God, give us the next day. Amen. Millions of dollars are spent every year on people, from people, wanting to know what their future holds. I know people who I've read about people who are health nuts, and there's nothing wrong with taking care of yourself. You ought to. I need to take way better care of myself. I don't eat right. I don't exercise. But I'm a firm believer in that verse, Brother William, where he said, bodily exercise profiteth little. Amen. Amen. Eating ham profiteth much. Hallelujah. I've read stories about people who run and run marathons and do triathlons and all that stuff, and they're a picture of health, and nobody understands why, but one day they just drop dead of a heart attack. You know why? You don't know. You'd be healthy as a horse one minute and dead as a hammer the next minute. So we ought to thank God for everything we have. They spend all that money wanting to know the future. Listen, I'm glad I don't know. That is one thing God has allowed us. We can look back and see the past. But God has veiled us or blocked us from looking into the future. I think it's a blessing. I think it's a blessing. Man has tried for years to invent a time machine. And you know what? God won't let him do it. I don't believe it'll ever happen. God won't let him do it. That's always been a dream of scientists, to be able to project themselves into the future. Only a couple of guys I know of, Paul saw into the future a little bit. John the Revelator saw into the future a lot, amen? And God allowed them to write about it. Amen. These preachers that say they died and went to heaven and God let them come back, I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe there's no new revelation under heaven. What we need to know is in that book right there. I think Jesse Duplantis is a liar. Amen. I think maybe he ate too much pizza before he went to bed. Amen. He did not go to heaven. If he went to heaven, he'd be in heaven. When I go to heaven, if God sends me back, I'll commit suicide right on the spot. Because you ain't going to heaven and come back and be happy here, I promise you. But I'm glad God has veiled the future that you and I cannot see it. You know why? If we were able to see it, it would alter our lives. If we knew that prosperity was coming, we would live carelessly. Amen. If we knew the lottery was coming our way. Boy, got quiet. Some of y'all, you didn't say amen because you're guilty of buying them things. Amen. When you ought to be tithing. I can promise you a good return on that. Amen. I was at the store the other day and I couldn't figure out the line, Brother Freddie. It started at the register and went around like this and came all the way around and people were standing at the door. All I wanted to do was buy a bottle of water and pay for my gas. And I couldn't figure out why so many people in that store. You know what it was? The lottery was like $150 million. There stood all them poor suckers with their dollars in their hand. Y'all okay? If you could see that that was your future, you know what you'd do? You'd go to the bank tomorrow. You'd buy a new Cadillac and a new Z71. You'd buy a place on the lake. Amen? But you know what? You're not promised that. We don't know. Listen to me carefully. If we could see that our lives were going to prosper, we'd live carelessly. If we knew that adversity or trouble was in the forecast, then we'd live with constant anxiety and fear. If you could see the future, if I could have seen the future, Brother Charles, when you asked me to be your pastor, you know what I'd have said? No. I mean that. If I knew that the ministry was going to involve some of the things that the ministry has involved, I would have said, no. I don't want to stand at the head of that many caskets. I don't want to hold that many crying mamas. I don't want to hold that many crying daddies. I don't want to have to hold and comfort that many crying children where they lost their parents. I don't want to stand at the bedside of my son who is in a coma. I don't want to go through some of the things that I've had to go through that the ministry involved. And if I could see the future, I would have flat out said no. And if you could see the future, some of you would probably kill yourself right now to keep from going through some of the things that may come your way. And so, Brother Eddie, that's not real positive. No, it's not. It's life. But you know what? On the flip side of that coin, there's some good things coming your way. If the Lord allows you to live, there's some good things coming your way. You know what? I have a dream. I have a dream of one day, Brother Todd, walking that's my world right there. That little girl, I love all my grandbabies, but she, I don't know, she has a spell. She has cast a spirit on me. But I have a dream of one day, Brother Todd, walking her down that aisle right there, and some good, godly young man, him handing her hand, and me performing a wedding ceremony. That's what I hope my future holds, but I do not know, and you do not know, so be careful. And get everything you can out of today. Amen. Listen, some of the greatest mistakes in life are planning and hoping without the will of God. Listen, look back at verse number 13. Now watch this. I want you to look at this crowd that James is talking to. He said, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, We will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get great gain. They got it all figured out, don't they? This is number one. I want to say to you this morning, avoid making foolish plans. Avoid making foolish plans in your life. James's readers, they were, if you'll read verse 1 through 10 sometime, they were guilty of indifference toward the brethren. Now they have said they're indifferent toward God. They've ignored God in their planning.
Amen.
Amen. It's okay to plan, but include God in making your plans. Let me say that again. It's okay to plan, but include God in making your plans. Matter of fact, what you ought to do is ask God to help you plan and ask God to lead you and guide you and direct you. I believe there's some things coming in the future of this church that the Lord has shown me. I believe it. I believe it'll come to pass. I believe it with all my heart. The Lord showed me some things the day we came here, 15, 16 years ago. The Lord spoke to my heart and assured me that some things were going to happen. Hey, it's been a long time. Hey, but it ain't working on my schedule. We're working on God's schedule. And if God promised it, God will fulfill it. Amen. You see, that's not my plan. That's God's plan. I need God in my plan. I need God in my tomorrow. I need God in my today. I prayed and asked the Lord before I walked out of my office. I said, God, I'm hurting and I don't feel good. God, I hadn't slowed down enough to get better. God, I need your help this morning. God, I'm planning on preaching this message, what is your life? But without you, God, my plan is useless.
Amen.
Amen. I asked Brother William sitting on the platform, I said, you want to look over my notes so we can tag team if we need to. Listen, I want you to look at their plan. Their plan is carefully constructed, Brother Freddie. They got it all figured out. I know a lot of people, they got it all figured out. I remember when I was a teenager, I had it all figured out. How about say amen, Michael? I had it all figured out. Mom and daddy's stupid. The pastor hasn't a clue what he's talking about. I got this. Me and Stacy at 17, brother, we had it all figured out, didn't we? You know what we figured out now? We didn't have nothing figured out. We didn't have a cotton picking thing figured out. Nothing has went the way I thought it would go. If you'd have asked us riding around in his puke green doodle bug, oh, it was the ugliest thing you ever saw. Had the fenders chopped off of it and mud tires, but we had fun in that thing. If you'd have asked us riding around Paulding County Plaza acting like idiots, if you'd have asked us, hey, what do you think? Tell us where you guys will be in 2013. Man, we couldn't even think to 2000.
Yeah, amen.
Where you'll be? I guarantee you, Stacy wouldn't have said, well, I tell you what, Eddie will be my pastor. And Brother Charles, our song leader, he'll call on me to pray to open the service.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been that story, I promise you.
Amen.
That wasn't in our future plans, I guarantee you. But God had a plan for our life. And God has a plan for your life. So include God in making that plan. And when your plan and God's plan, hey, what was it the guy used to say on the A-team? I love it when a plan comes together. Y'all remember that? I love it when a plan comes together. Hey, when I plan and I plan with God and my plan meets up with His plan and they mesh together, I'm telling you, brother, when it's right and it comes together and it happens and it's the will of God, it is a wonderful thing. But I've made some plans like these people. It just didn't happen. They carefully constructed their plan. Their plan was chosen. What did they say? He's going to go, he's going to get in on the ground floor and make his fortune. How many times have I been told that? How many times? I love Brother Fisher. He's my friend. I love him with all my heart. But Brother Fisher gets in these multi-level marketing deals. And he has sucked me in a time or two. I respect him, and because he calls and says, you need to get in on this. I get in on it. This will make you rich. Well, the last five didn't. I'm kidding, it hadn't been that many. Their plan was constructed. Man, we're going to get it on the ground floor. And they show you this thing. And man, if you can do this, and you can sign up this many people here, and sign, and they'll sign up people, and they'll sign up people, and they'll sign up people, and people you don't even know, people in another state, every time they make a sale, you're going to get money. Boy, ain't that something. Boy, I'm talking to somebody this morning. I'm going to be a millionaire. And ain't going to have to do nothing. That seldom happens, friend. Their plan was constructed. Their plan was chosen. Hey, their period or their time was calculated. Here's what they said. It's only going to take a year. Only going to take a year. We're going to go down there and buy and sell and get gain. It's only going to take a year. That's what they said. It's only going to take a year. Brother, we don't have a clue. Their purpose, buy and sell and get gain. They're going retail. Their profit was computed. We're going to get gain. But their problem was too low, twofold. They lived their lives with no regard for the will of God. They planned their future without consideration of the will of God.
Amen.
I see people do that all the time. I see people come to the altar and get married or run off and get married by the justice of the peace, and they never considered the will of God in that union. Do you believe it's possible to marry outside the will of God? Come on. There's people in this room, the first time you married the wrong one. Amen. It's so easy to make a mistake. And when we make our choices and leave God out of those choices, Michael, I know you like I know the back of my hand right there. Michael, when he's going to choose a girl, hey, looks is number one. I'm not telling you how much she weighs, what color her hair is, what her shape is. Hey, that's his first consideration. Bad move. You'll be happy with a girl that weighs 450 pounds, got enough hair under her arm to weigh the Indian blanket. Look like she's got buckwheat in a headlock. Got buck teeth so big she could eat corn on the cob through a chain link fence. You'll be happy with her in the will of God than you would the America's next top model out of the will of God. I think it'd be a blessing if God had sent you just that girl. Don't you, Brother Freddie? That'd suit you just right. But see, that's how we plan. You've got this vision in your mind. Oh, this is just who I want. You ought to pray and ask God. God, who would you have me have? God, I want your will for my life. From the day Ashley was born, I was praying for Todd Thompson and didn't know it. Are you listening? From the day Katie was born, I was praying for Chase. Every time I prayed for my children, when Levi was born, I was praying for Cora. Actually, I was praying for Levi for Cora. That she wouldn't kill him. Every one of my children, every time I prayed, God, save them, and God, send your will for their life.
Amen.
And you know what? So far, I think, honey, it's hit the mark every single time. I could not have chosen better spouses for any of my children, but God did. God did.
Amen.
Ashley might have had some good-looking guy in mind. I'm kidding, Brother Todd. God knew exactly what she needed. My daughter she's a basket case sometimes. And Todd can handle her. He can. He'll tell her right quick, hey, you need to calm down. You need to chill out. God knew what she needed. And he sent the right type person for her. God knew what Katie needed. So he sent her somebody that's going to make a lot of money. Amen. I'm serious. We need to include God in our planning. Not just in marriage, but in life. Just because somebody offers you 50 cents more an hour doesn't mean it's the will of God. It's not always the will of God for you to make more money. Sometimes it's the will of God for you to stay still. They had it all figured out, but they just didn't include God in their plans. So many people think they've got it all figured out. Listen, avoid the mistake of making foolish plans. And foolish means leaving God out. It's okay to plan if God is in it. If God is in it, it's okay to plan. Brother Don and Sister Candace, they're praying really hard. Talked to Brother Don for about an hour the other day. They're praying really hard about moving to Trinidad, Colorado, and helping Brother Caleb. I think it'll be a good thing if God is in it. If God is in it, I want to help them load the truck, Brother Freddie. I want to give them some money. I want to help them every way we can if God is in it. Here was Don's question, and I have greater respect for him. He said, Brother Eddie, pray that while we're out there, that God will show us. I said, Don, I'm praying that God will show you and Candace together. Exactly. He said, no. He said, pray God will show you and me and give us the answer that that's where we're supposed to be. He said, if any time you feel like it ain't right, you tell me. I said, I will, brother. I said, right now I feel good about it. But we'll pray that God will scripturally give us the answer and spiritually in our hearts give us the answer. God, Don could just say, there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity. I'm going to Colorado and help in that ministry and help build that church. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Hey, Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Without me, you're on your own, friend. You're operating in your own power. You're operating in your own strength. Hey, but when it's me and God together, ain't nothing going to defeat us. Amen. Amen. Avoid the mistake of making foolish presumptions. Amen. Of making foolish presumptions. They failed to grasp the complexity of life. That is so real when you're a teenager. When we were teenagers, me and Stacy rode bulls and hit the ground and bounced like rubber balls. I got on that horse and she didn't buck half as hard as them little old steers we used to ride did. Boom, I went straight up in the air and I hit the ground and I learned, man, hey, life changes. Those horses are a whole lot taller and that ground is a whole lot harder. Things that used to bend now break. In other words, life changes day in and day out and day in and day out and day in and day out. Hey, you may not realize you're getting older. Michael, that ultimate fighting stuff, talk to me about it when you're 48. Amen. God forbid somebody hit me in the face. Oh, Lord, I'd just cry. I'm serious heart attack, man. That fighting stuff, that's gone, brother. Long, long time ago, somebody said, would you fight somebody? No, I'll just shoot them. Amen. Amen. You come after me, I ain't fighting you. I'll just put a hole in you and be done with it. Amen. What I'm saying, man, is life changes and we don't know what's coming our way. Hey, I feel pretty good today other than a sore side. Hey, but tomorrow it could be a tumor. Amen. It could be a heart attack. I've got friends my age who have had open heart surgery already. Friends my age who have suffered and battled cancer already. And life gets complicated sometimes. It is not all as easy as you think. I remember as a teenager boy, I'm going to go to Abraham Baldwin College. I'm going to ride bareback into college rodeo and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do this. And buddy, I'm telling you, it didn't work out that way. What happened? Life happened. Life happened. Hey, listen, you need to remember, life ain't always what you think it's going to be. It ain't always. Sometimes life has some uncertainties. Life has some uncertainties. Man, there's people that, Brother Charles, I thought they'd live forever. And I've had to preach their funerals. I really did. I just thought, man, they're just going to live on and on and on. I didn't expect to bury Ollie Matthews. Man, to me, he was the original Superman. A man of steel. Oh, I loved that man with all my heart. And I had to watch him die. Man, life is uncertain, man. You don't know. I could get a call this afternoon that one of you fell dead or had a wreck in an accident. You don't know. How many times a day do you come that close to death? That car on the other side, it's only about that far away. Only about 6-8 feet separating you and the grave. But by the grace of God, he lets them go by. I was coming to church, I believe it was last Sunday night. Y'all know the bridge down here on 61, Sweetwater Creek. Brother William, a man come around the car right there in front of me. If there wasn't a little shoulder on that bridge, a place to pull off, I'd have been killed. One of them kids and one of them little old foreign cars that sound like a bumblebee. Nearly took me out of this world, man. You know what it was? It was the grace of God. Man, life's uncertain. I hope my grandbabies grow up with their granddaddy. I hope they do, but I don't know. You know what I do know? I've got today. I've got night right now. If the Lord will allow, I've got one more altar call. And so do you. If the Lord will allow, I've got one more opportunity to get things straight with him. And so do you. Man, I wouldn't blow that chance. Don't make foolish presumptions. I remember Brother William leaving church when I was a kid. Now, Brother Charles Williams would preach, and he'd preach on hell, and the Lord would convict me, and I'd say, I'm going to do it when I get home. If they'll sing one more verse, I'd always put a stipulation on there with God. If they'll sing one more verse, if this will happen, if that will happen. Hey, don't make deals with God. Do business with God. God's not a deal maker. He's not a used car salesman. If God says, I'll take this, don't say, well, I'll give you this. God don't haggle, friend. He wants what he wants. And he don't want anything less. It'd be great if you would just give it to him. These guys failed to grasp the brevity or the shortness of life. Remember what he said? It's a vapor, friend. It appears for a little while and then just, it's gone. It's kind of like a vapor when it's real cold. It ain't hardly been cold enough here in a couple of years, but when it's real cold, you know, when you go, and that smoke comes out, it's just a vapor. Yeah. It's that oxygen in your body meeting that, it's that warm air in your body meeting that cold air on the outside, and it forms a vapor.
Yes.
And if you're not looking real quick, it's gone.
Yes.
And that's what life is. That's what life is. When I was a kid and I heard older people talk about, well, it seems like it was just yesterday. And I thought, man, you're ancient. 48 years old. When I was a kid, that was old, Brother Charles. It really was. Hayden was at the house the other day and he's six. He's trying to get me to lower his basketball goal where he said, where I can jam it. He wanted to slam dunk. And I said, I can't get it any lower. But he remembered when it was lower. He knew it could be lower. And here's what he said. He said, Papa, you remember when I was a little kid? I said, yeah, I guess I do. So I lowered the goal. But man, 48 years old, looking back, where did it go? Man, I mean, it's just like yesterday, they put Ashley in my hands. And they put Levi in my hands. And they put Katie in my hands. Those babies were born. It seems like yesterday we stood at the altar at White Oak Springs in the front of Brother J.M. Brooks and said, I do, and made some vows. Hey, man, it's been almost 30 years ago. Hey, brother, but it has flown by. In just a few months, you're going to say, I cannot believe it's Christmas already. And life is short. Somebody once said, I believe it was Dr. Lee Robertson, life is short, time is fast. Only that which is done for Christ will last. Listen, 1 Chronicles, I'm going to quit in just a second. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse number 15, the Bible said, for we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Job said in Job chapter 7 and verse number 6, he said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. In chapter 8 and verse number 9, Job said, for we are but of yesterday and know nothing because our days upon earth are a shadow. Job chapter 9 and verse 25, he said, now my days are swifter than a post They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. In Job chapter number 14, Job said, man is born of woman, is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. The psalmist said in Psalms 39 and verse number 4, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. What it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best is altogether vanity. Psalms 103 and verse number 15, the Bible said, as for a man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more.
Amen.
That rich young farmer in the Bible who came to Jesus, he said, I'm going to tear down my barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns. What he's saying is God's going to give me bigger crops. God's going to give me larger increase.
Amen.
You know what Jesus told him? You know what Jesus called him?
Yeah.
He said, you're a fool, son. For this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Jesus said, what you don't know, you're planning on building bigger barns. You're planning on planting bigger crops. You're planning on a greater increase. But what you don't know is you will not see tomorrow.
Amen.
Somebody else will build your barn.
Yeah.
Somebody else will plant your crop. But you're leaving this earth tonight.
Yes.
I'm just here to tell you life is precious. Let me give you one more mistake many people made. Avoid the mistake of postponement. I am the world's worst procrastinator. I'm of the idea that if I'll let the grass get a little taller, I'll accomplish more when I cut it. Can I get a witness right there? I like to look like I'm baling hay, amen? Why do today what I can put off till tomorrow? Boy, Pharaoh made a mistake making postponement. Belshazzar made a mistake of postponement.
Yeah.
Hey, don't postpone the most important things in your life. There's somebody here this morning, you're not saved. If you died right now, you're not 100% sure heaven would be your home. Don't postpone that thing. You need to get that fixed right now. I wouldn't wait another second. I wouldn't wait on the altar call. If I didn't know I was saved, I'd come down here right this second and have somebody pray with me and let me get that settled before I left here today.
Amen.
I may have to preach your funeral Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't want to, but it's a real possibility. Well, how do you know? Because I've had to do it over and over and over and over and over. Can I ask you a question? What makes you the exception?
Yes.
What guarantees you tomorrow that didn't guarantee all the, I've got a shoebox at home, and now it's over full, and I've got to start on another one of memorial cards from funeral homes, Brother Charles. Probably every suit coat I got. There's one right there. I've got them every. They're everywhere, Brother Freddie. You know why? Because people aren't promised tomorrow, and you're not either. Little Julia, up in New York, 16 years old, beautiful little girl. Enjoying the day, enjoying the fellowship, enjoying playing with somebody's baby. She had no idea, Brother Charles. That 21-year-old boy just went to bed Friday night. Brother Greg, I'm sure he never thought as he laid down, he would have went and told his mom and dad goodbye.
Amen.
He's a good boy. He'd have went and told his mom and daddy that he loved them.
Yep.
Mom and dad, I'm probably going to die in my sleep tonight. No, that wasn't part of his plan. It never is. But we need to be prepared for the unknown, because we don't know what the future holds. Even those of us who are saved, man, we need to make sure that we know about tomorrow. When it comes to the matter of salvation, don't postpone it.
Amen.
Don't postpone it. The Bible said, behold, today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Don't put that thing off.
Amen.
I'm telling you, man, I'm pastor of this church. And if the Lord convicted my heart this morning and said, what are you talking about, bud? You ain't even saved. I'd get on this altar and find out. I'd get in this altar and I'd get that thing settled. Are you listening to me? My son was called to preach when he was 10 years old. Went to Bible college, freshman year. I got a phone call. My son was crying uncontrollably on the other end. I said, buddy, what's, I thought I'm fixing to have to go to Arkansas and get him. Something's happened. I said, son, what's wrong? He said, I just got saved. He said, after chapel, Daddy, he said, I've been wondering a long time. He said, Brother Mitchell led me to the Lord. I said, son, are you sure? He said, Teddy, I'm more sure than I am of anything in my whole life. He said, I know I'm saved.
Amen.
You say, how could God call him to preach when he was 10 if he wasn't even saved? Hey, God has showed people his plan for their life many times before they got saved.
Amen.
Amen. Buddy, I'd get that thing settled today. You may have sung in that choir this morning. You might have taught a Sunday school class. You might have worked a bus route. I don't know. And I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation. If you're saved, I can't. You couldn't talk me out of mine. I'd get that thing settled today. You know what? I've heard of pastors' wives getting saved. I've heard of deacons getting saved. I know a lot of deacons that should get saved. Not these. I got the best three in the whole wide world. And I'm serious. I don't care who you are. You may be a member of the church. You may be a visitor. You may have just come with a friend today. But I wouldn't postpone the most important decision of your life. I wouldn't put that off any further. When it comes to salvation, don't postpone it. Get it settled now. Just go ahead and get it took care of. I promise you won't regret it. When it comes to serving God, don't put it off. Don't put it off. One of these days, I'd like to work a bus route. You may not get the opportunity. You may not get the opportunity. What you ought to say, Lord willing, if we're still here next Sunday, I'm going to ride a bus. If we're still here next Sunday, I'm going to help somebody in the Sunday school class. If I'm still here next week, I'm going to invite somebody to church. If I'm still here, I'm going to get somebody out of my family in church on family day. Listen, don't wait till the Saturday before. Go ahead so they can prepare. Start on them now. Start nagging on them now. Amen. Get them family that's close that you know some deep, dark secrets and tell them, say, if you don't come to church, I'm going to put it on Facebook. Bribe them, man. I don't care. Get them here. Get them to hear the gospel. Amen? Don't put off serving God. I've often wondered, you know, I ran from the call of God for a year to preach the gospel. I mean, I fought that thing hard. I've often wondered, what if I'd have done it sooner? What if I'd have got saved the first time the Lord dealt with my heart, really? First time I really got under Holy Ghost conviction. What if I'd have got saved then? I wonder what would have been different. I was called to preach in my 20s. Could have happened in my teens. There's no telling what I missed in the work of God for all those years because I postponed my salvation. I postponed my service. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Todd, y'all come this morning.
We're going to give the altar call this morning. And I pray you'll just be obedient. Let the Lord speak to your heart. Listen, you didn't come to church this morning for nothing. You may have thought you did. You're here for a reason. And I'm not just talking to visitors. I'm talking to those of you who are here every week. You're here for a reason this morning. That message wasn't just for somebody else. It was for you. It was for me. Buddy, I'm reminded today of how precious life is. And if the Lord, if I wake up tomorrow, man, it's a gift of God. And I need to make everything I can out of it. So do you. Let's bow our heads this morning. Nobody looking around. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder if there's one here today. Say, preacher, I've postponed this thing about my soul and where I'll spend eternity. And I need to get that settled in my heart. I need to know. I need my children to know. If daddy dies, if mama dies. I need my mom and daddy to know that if I die, heaven will be my home. Preacher, pray I'd get that settled in my heart. Would you slip up your hand? I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. I just want to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Please pray for me. Anybody. How about this? Preacher, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But I've been taking every day for granted. I've been making plans without God. Preacher, pray that I'd be thankful for every day He gives me. Preacher, pray that I'd include God in every plan that I make. How about that? Hands all over this building. Thank You this morning. Let's pray together. Fathers, we come to You this morning in Jesus' name. You saw every hand. You know every heart. But Lord, You know that the heart of the one who didn't raise their hand. Lord, they've got questions about their soul. They've got questions about where they'll spend eternity. Lord, they're unsettled and they're uneasy. Lord, I pray You'd help them to get that thing right today. Lord, help us to include You in every aspect and every area of our life. And Father, before we sing this morning, before we open this invitation, Father, please be with my friend, Brother Dale Nugent. Lord, be with little Julia's mom and dad. Lord, be with that family who found their son dead yesterday morning. Lord, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine Cora calling this morning and saying Levi's gone. Lord, thank You that he's here. Thank You that I'm not feeling that heartache and that grief today. And I realize, God, it's just by Your grace. But Lord, please, please be with them that are feeling it this morning. Have Your way in this altar call. And Lord, again, thank You. Thank You for life. Thank You for letting us live one more day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.